I played pitcher, shortstop, third base, and center field.
Those are the prime positions.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys, Dirt and Sprague.
Yeah, you were the best player on your team.
Yes, now we talking.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Scrape cleanup on aisle three. Come get it.
Sounds like you're just an athlete.
Yeah.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Ping pong, baseball, football, basketball.
Tennis, swimming, lacrosse, whatever you need me to play, I'm going to go do it.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hockey.
Whatever, on the rink, whatever you need me to do, it don't matter.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app. And wherever you get your podcasts, we are momentarily not on YouTube. Haven't been all show. Hopefully we can get that up and going. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hump day. We got a sad story we'll eventually get to today. But the big story is the beloved Blazers go on the road, and they beat the Phoenix Suns in the 7-8 play-in. So catch your 2-7 NBA playoff excitement. The meter is going off the Richter scale here. We're going crazy in Rip City.
Rip City is going crazy right now.
We'll dive into everything with Denny's 41-point performance. Just the game itself was pretty crazy. But before we do that, we'd like to remind you that you can join us on June 23rd as Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. Foursomes are on sale now, the morning and afternoon round. They both go very fast. It's the most fun day in golf, activations, tasting, and, of course, we'll be hanging out on the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3, having a good time, admiring, heckling, whatever it's going to end up being. We'll have a good time at the Par 3, and we'll feed everybody with Matt's Barbecue, which is quite delightful. I enjoy
so good.
Matt's Barbecue.
Maybe the highlight of the day. That brisket is awesome.
You can head to 1051thefan.com and click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for information and to sign up today. The Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, and Window Nation. Let's dive into the Blazers, who went on the road in the 7-8 game that everybody here watched last night, and they won. Andrew, they did it!
They're eating that Jameis Winston dub, baby.
They watched the Suns go on a 24-4 run and still somehow won a basketball game. It was unbelievable that you could go on that run and lose.
It looked like it was going to be an epic disaster, that we were going to come in today and say, oh my God, how did that happen? You were in control the entire game. Well, sans the opening couple of minutes, because they came out and clanked a bunch of shots, and Phoenix made their first couple, and it took Portland a couple of minutes to find, you know, the floor underneath them, and then at the end of the first quarter, you're only down by two. You controlled the majority of the second. Early in the third, you continued to maintain your lead, and it was pretty consistent throughout. Like, every time Phoenix would cut it to six or seven, it felt like Portland would respond and push it back near double digits, and then all of a sudden, it was turnover, turnover, miss shot, turnover, turnover, miss shot, and here comes Phoenix, and the home crowd got going. You're like, oh my God, this just flipped from Portland's been in total control to now we're down by seemingly 10, and we got to climb out of this thing. And thankfully they did, because that would have been a major bummer to blow that game, have to go into the 8-spot play-in game on Friday, not get San Antonio in the first round, potentially get Oklahoma City, and then, oh, by the way, you would have played Friday night and then turned around and played the early game Sunday morning in Oklahoma City, and I would have bet on you to lose that game by 50 points. So it just it looked like it was going to go that way, and then your best player showed up in the biggest game of the season when they needed him the most, because he did not get a lot of help offensively.
No.
He took over late, got to the free throw line, made some open threes. Jeremy Grant hit a couple of big shots.
Mm-hmm.
Look, from an entertainment standpoint, that game was fantastic, and then obviously the end result here locally left everybody feeling really good, and here come the Portland Trailblazers back to the playoffs.
Yeah, Denny Avdia had 35% of their points.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot to be asking of a player. It's been like that in large stretches the whole season.
I think he hit his free throw total, by the way, on the nose. I think I asked you how many free throws, and
said
13.
I said 13. It didn't feel like he was going to hit it for a while there, and then the second half he started getting the whistle, and now it's funny to wake up and you see how butthurt Phoenix is. Jalen Green, he got whistles we didn't get. You see all the fans are upset. Look, we've talked about Denny. He can be somewhat polarizing to a certain extent. That is a Denny Avdia that is a little different than the other Denny Avdias.
Yes.
He's very deserving of making All-NBA this year. He's had a remarkable year. He's been an All-Star. The voting hasn't concluded, so I think he is going to make All-NBA now that he had that performance. That's going to go down in the history of the league as one of the greatest play-in performances.
Well, it's the only one we've ever had, right? Is that our first play-in game?
For us, I... Oh, we had one in the bubble.
Oh, okay.
Who did we play in the bubble one?
I don't remember. I'm sure Dame lit it up, though, but I don't remember. I remember losing to the Lakers in the first round.
Yeah, who did we play in the bubble one?
I don't remember.
Clippers?
Maybe.
Is that the they laughed at us, we won game?
I'm pretty sure I was playing golf at Bandon Dunes that day.
Ah, okay. Well, either way.
Yeah.
Just in the history of the play-in, that's one of the best performances in play-in history because it's technically not going to count as playoffs, which is a whole stupid thing the NBA does.
Yes, yes, it is.
But, like, it's not just, like, the foul hunting, not hunting thing. I just thought he was efficient. He got to the rim. They couldn't stop him.
No.
And he made his shots. He was 15 of 22 with 41 points.
Yeah.
That's super efficient.
Yeah. It's one thing when the majority of it comes from the free throw line. It's another when he's scoring at every level. And he was doing that last night.
Like, right.
I mean, to make 15 shots in the game tells you he had a great night shooting the ball, 15 of 22. The majority of those, sure, came around the paint, but that's his strength.
Nine of which was from three, yeah.
Right. And then he made a couple of threes, and so it wasn't like he was, you know, he has games where he has big nights and you're like 0 for 6 from three, and you're like, well, that you didn't really space the floor a ton. When they were giving him open shots, especially late in the game, he had knocked down a couple of big threes.
Yep.
When they're on that rally to get back in. And then, yeah, he's going to attack. And so it's gonna lead him to the free throw line. And it's one of those matchups that he needed to do that because when you look at Phoenix, there's not a great rim protector in the middle. Like, Mark Williams is their center, and he's fine, but he's not a dominant big.
They lack
in the
bigs.
Paint. Like, they don't have somebody on the interior of their defense that can affect him and send him away or make him dish the ball out. That'll be the biggest question I have about the San Antonio series is you got an alien standing in the paint the entire time waiting for you.
And Cornette is a really smart,
no doubt about
cagey
it.
Veteran, you know?
No doubt about it. And so you got two guys in there that are formidable that Phoenix does not have. So you needed Denny to do that. The percentage is crazy of how many points that he scored. And when you look back on it, like, yeah, again, Jeremy had a couple of nice shots. Drew did not have a terrible game, and he had some nice moments. Outside of that, Kamara was a no-show offensively. Scoot gave you a little burst out of the gate and then essentially didn't play the rest of the game. He only played 17 minutes. Shaden hit his first three shots, and I think he made one the rest of the game. So, from some of the other guys that you would look for to drive your offense and get it
Donovan
going.
Donovan did nothing
Donovan did literally nothing. He passed
just
up with three. Like, he grabbed some boards. That's great. He's 2 points, one of six. He didn't even try and shoot. And so, if you just got a normal night from Denny Avdia last night, let's say 28 points, I mean, you're losing that game by double digits. So, they needed single one of those from him last night.
Yeah, no, he carried them. I mean, Tiago said as much in the post game. I think when you look at the way they played, I think every player and some of their stat lines don't look great in the box score, but I think it almost in a weird way, because of the way the game ebbed and flowed, we'd go on a run, then they'd go on a run, then we'd go on a run, then they go on a run, and like we were up big, they in the second quarter and go into the half barely down, and you're like, well, this doesn't feel great.
They got that 4-point play with 2 seconds to go.
You know, and then we come out and we're all right, and then Phoenix goes on a massive run, and we follow with like an 18-6 run. It was a game of ups and downs for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But like at any one point, Tamani was great defensively, but yeah, he didn't really do anything offensively. Donovan's offensive rebounds were massive when he got them. But 1 of 6 with 2 points.
Well, I didn't think the team tried to isolate him when he had smaller guys. They didn't look for
him. I don't want to. I'm sorry. What has he shown that makes you feel like you should be dumping it down and running the Donovan Klingon show? He should be doing the putback dunk lob
stuff. But also, there were, I don't know, if you're running pick and rolls with him, I mean, half his shots were threes. One was at the end of a shot clock, and he just had to heave it.
Yeah.
They're not, especially against Wemby and Cornette, he's going to be way out setting screens on the 3-point because they're going to try to draw Wemby.
He's finding his offense, though. My point is he doesn't have offense yet.
No, but if you've got smaller guys, you need to run pick and rolls where he can short roll or they can throw lobs to him, and they didn't do that at all.
Drew Holiday was good for them. Scoot was the weirdest one because he had these moments of really good defense. He was being pesky, and then like he'd have a couple offensive moments. And then, boom, turnover, bad shot.
He was loose with the basketball.
Dude. And, like, he only officially had 2 turnovers. He had less than Denny had ended up
Denny
with
had five.
Denny
Drew
had five.
Had four.
He had the ball in his hand most
of
the time. But
Scoot is just, It goes back to our Scoot conversation. Yeah. It's just a bizarre thing to evaluate because you see the good, and then you have these stretches where you're like, what are you doing?
Him and Jaden are the same. I mean, Jaden has that start where you get knocked down your first three shots, and then you fast forward late in the game, and he's passing up a wide-open three and turning the ball over.
Yeah. The wide-open like, three what? That he passed up. I'm
shoot
like,
the
dude,
ball.
You got to shoot that shot. But he also finds Jeremy in the corner for one of for Jeremy's two threes.
Yeah.
Like,
and I thought in that game, Jaden fit better with what was going on.
But they limited his minutes because they held him out for a large portion of that fourth quarter. So they made sure minutes-wise he was at a certain number. Jeremy hits his two biggest. Like, by the way, welcome back Jeremy Grant.
Yep. He ends up playing, and he had a big impact on the game.
He had kind of struggled for most of the way, and then
and he
hits those
the
two big
corner
threes.
And he got the steal on that offensive rebound on the final play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had stripped Goodwin. Chris Murray did nothing for you. Rob Williams had some moments. Like, it was a weird game where a lot of guys didn't statistically play well, but they all had little moments sprinkled throughout where you're like, hey, that's an impact moment. Hey, this was a good little stretch for you. And then it was just the Denny Avdia show, and he gives you 41 points.
Yeah, and he overtook everything offensively late in the game. It was interesting to see the different lineup combinations that they went with in such a massive game, right? Like, this isn't game 47 of the regular season. These ones mean more, and so where are you going to go? Scoot essentially didn't play in the second half. He had a small stretch in the third, beginning of the fourth, but only 17 total minutes for him.
Yeah.
I thought we got a glimpse late in the game when they needed a stop on the last possession of having the ability to put out a roster or a lineup, I should say, that's very good defensively top to bottom, right? And everybody can be an impact guy on that end of the floor, and mm-hmm. that served its purpose. You get the double team as Booker drives, and it wasn't a terrible look from Green, right? Like, that was a semi-open three-pointer. He just was a little too strong with it, and they get the rebound, and you're able to get the steal, and you toss it out, and I love the dunk at the end instead of dribbling the clock out. So it was interesting to see the combinations that they went with. They also, I thought, saw the pitfalls of some of their offensive weaknesses at times when Denny Avdia wasn't on the floor. Like, there was a stretch in the third. They scored 18 points in the third quarter.
Yeah, third was tough.
And there was a stretch at the end of the third where it was like Matisse Thybulle was on the floor. Klingon was obviously out there.
Right.
Kamara was out there. And it's just like, dude, nobody can create a shot right now. And they were turning the ball over to boot, and that kind of, you know, helped Phoenix go on the run. And so it was interesting to see the way they tinkered with things and changed things up. It's nice to have flexibility of more offensive strong lineups and defensively strong lineups. But ultimately, the biggest story of the night was, in games like that, your best player has got to be the best player on the floor. And that was a question I had going into the game. I don't know what it means for the overall Pantheon ranking, but is Denny Avdia going to outplay Devin Booker? Was a massive question in the game, and sometimes the deciding factor. And it wasn't that Devin Booker was terrible. He did miss five free throws.
I thought he was way too passive.
He got off to a better start.
He let Jalen Green be the Devin Booker of their team. And I'm like, dude, you got to stop deferring. Like, Jalen Green,
he had a nice night.
He was on a heater.
He took 29 shots, and Devin Booker only took 17. Like, if I'm Phoenix, I'm saying, wait a minute.
Blazers ran more defenders at Booker than
no
Green.
Doubt about it, and also, they were forcing the ball out of his hand. But Denny was the best player on the floor last night, and that's why Portland won.
No doubt about it. So Portland wins by four. Devin Booker, 90% free throw shooter, missed five free throws.
Denny missed five, too.
He did?
He missed four in
a row.
Denny's
a 90% free throw shooter.
Denny's not Devin Booker level shooter. Like, that was bizarre. Like, Devin Booker just felt like...
Felt off last night.
He looked like a monster had taken over his body. Yeah. Like, he had moments where he was really good, and you're like, damn, dude, Devin Booker.
He only took two threes for the game. He missed both of them.
But then he also got into foul trouble, had to sit for a large portion, and then when he came back, there were moments where you didn't feel Devin Booker was on the court. I had to, like, remind myself. I'm like, oh, yeah, there he is. He's in the corner.
Yeah.
And I think what you said is right there. Like, Denny severely outplayed him. I thought he was way too passive deferring to Jalen Green. And Jalen Green had a nice night. But 29 shots from Jalen Green, I'd probably want that to be more like 24. And then give those five extra shots to Devin Booker and to shoot more than two threes. Like, it was just a bizarre game, I think, from the Phoenix angle. And Dylan Brooks, who had a slow start.
He got going late.
Dude, he got it going, and he got it going big time, especially in that second half. He hit that three and ran into Tiago.
When he hit that three right in front of the bench and started running his mouth, that was not a good time feeling for Blazer fans.
No.
That was one of those uh-oh moments.
And I thought it was a huge advantage for Portland, and we'll get to Denny Avdia stuff because we got audio. We'll talk about Denny. Like, if I'm a Suns fan, what are you doing, Jordan Ott? Like, why did you play defense like that? You're up one, and your choice is to play Denny straight up one on one with Jordan Goodwin, and then have no kind of big in the down like down low.
Let anybody else shoot the ball other than Denny Avdia in that moment.
What did Portland do
on the last possession of the game defensively? They said anybody but Devin Booker. And when he drove, what did they do?
Yeah.
They double teamed his ass.
He kicked it out,
and it led to a decent look for Green. It wasn't like it was the toughest shot in the world.
But he's kind of fading when he shoots.
He was fading
that
a little bit, and it's too strong. Yeah. He misses.
Drew was running at him.
We're not letting Devin Booker get a shot off here. That's your defensive strategy. And they let Denny walk to the rim and then foul them on top of it. And fouled out of the game.
His face when he fouls out, because he goes from the S-talking guy to the, crap, I did it again to myself.
Damn it, I fouled out.
Let's talk about Denny Avdia, 41 points last night as the Blazers go into the playoffs. Fan text line's 503-864-6326. We roll on with a loaded second hour. Denny Avdia, 41 points on the road. Talk about that next on The Fan. 721, welcome back in. Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. We are well aware we are not on YouTube. We appreciate you guys letting us know that, but we are well aware. We haven't been on YouTube this morning. We are efforting. I told Swag, I was screaming at Swag in the break, just do the Nintendo thing.
Blow on the cartridge, unplug it, and unplug it.
Hit the start button a million different times.
Just unplug it, unplug it in. Plug it in, plug it in, plug it in.
Can we also acknowledge, side note, before we get to Denny, there was an absolute thrill about being the person that could get the Nintendo to work again, wasn't there?
Without a doubt.
Hitting that power button.
You were the one that got it, the button in the right spot.
You're like the coolest kid.
You got enough of the fluff off of the core. Yeah, buddy. Let's play some GoldenEye.
Yeah, that red light stayed on this time, didn't it? So Denny Avdia scores 41 points last night, and I got to ask you.
Pretty good game, Bob.
How's that crow tasting this morning?
How's eat that crow?
Huh? If you
what
missed
crow
it.
What crow am I eating?
Well, I was kind of talking to the world.
Oh, the world's eating crow.
Well, we had one listener was like, can I get a certain morning show to do something that's not hating on the Blazers?
And
think they're doing it tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
From time to time, we do sound negative on the team.
Well, we all picked them to win yesterday.
I've been telling you for 2 days, I think they're going to win the 7-8 battle, and I hammered the money line bet yesterday. I almost cashed out, but I stood strong.
Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
And we ended up winning that bet. Now, that being said, 41-point performance, 35% of his team's points last night. Denny Avdia, that's one of the best Blazer playoff-ish-esque.
You just did it.
Adjacent.
You did it.
Well, I don't know what to do with this.
You did
it's dumb.
It's
post-season.
An entity. But
it's not a postseason.
It's not a postseason game.
No, it's not a playoff game. It's postseason.
But they don't even define postseason on their website.
It was an awesome game. Is it one of the greatest games of all time?
It was
I don't
an
know.
Elimination well, no. game is what it was.
Yeah, there you go. Well, no, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Lost,
because they could
game.
Go play another game. It's not an elimination game. It's not a playoff game.
The NBA is smart for making this and dumb in the same way. I'll just say this. It was you alerted it to me because I'm not on social media much outside of the show. But you alerted to me that Holdall had mentioned a certain top three player of all time.
Well, somebody had asked, like, I'm having a really hard time coming up with a comp for Denny and who he reminds me of. And Holdall responded, whispers. LeBron.
I mean, no, but numbers-wise, Holdall is right. 41, 12, and 7 is a LeBron Cleveland
without a doubt.
Line for sure. And so, and he wasn't really, I thought, a foul merchant in the way that he has been in large stretches. And by the way, if you think we're off on that, go listen to the Old Man in the Three pod with Donovan Tumani and Denny.
They make so much fun of him for
they
foul
They basically admit, yeah, you are a foul merchant,
yeah.
But they don't.
But he was, and I noticed this, I sent this to you in the text thread, what was a lot of times he would just go flying to the rim and just throw himself into the mix looking for the whistle.
Mm-hmm.
He was looking to finish. He was a little bit more under control. He wasn't going, full speed. And we saw a little bit more at the Euro steps and those sorts of – he was looking to finish, and if he got fouled, great.
Yeah.
And that was a difference, and that's why he only missed 2 2-point attempts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was stellar.
And he was focused on finishing through contact rather than simply drawing contact.
I mean, I think if anything, what you want – like you want him to win, right, because you want to see the Blazers be a 7 seed, right, and take a step – you also just want to know, what's Denny like on this stage of the NBA? I know people were pointing out, well, he had all the success when he played for the under-20 Israeli team, I think he won an Israel championship playing, you know, at an early age over there. Mm-hmm. And those are great. Those are obviously big stakes games for them over there. The NBA is a different beast. And without you just wanted to see what that was going to be like. And we'd had a player most recently. We knew what he was in those moments because he delivered his first moment that he had was against the Houston Rockets.
Yes, it was.
41 points on 22 shots with 12 assists and 7 boards is absolutely delivering in every way you could possibly want from a player that you're probably going to be offering a max contract to.
Well, if he makes all NBA, that affordable contract narrative is going to go out the window. I think it'll flip to like, are we paying Denny too much? Like, I'm sure that will be the narrative going forward if he does make all NBA. He was in complete control of the game last night, and I think that was the most exciting part about it. It felt like every phase offensively, the 12 assists jump off the box score, the way he was setting other guys up. I agree completely with Swag's point that it didn't come out. It's just a guy who was flopping his way to the free throw line. I felt like the bulk of his free throws came in the second half of the game as he kind of found his rhythm a little bit more, and then as he was continuing to be aggressive and finish around the rim, he was getting the benefit of the whistle. Like, the narrative around his play and his style will never change. He has a certain style of modern basketball that if he wasn't on our team, we would despise him because we despise other guys like that.
Yep.
Luka, SGA, the other guys that are in that free throw shooting category near the top of the league. But he's our guy. We embrace him. We love him. And he showed up in the biggest moment.
Yes, he did.
I think to connect two different storylines, one of appreciating what he did and the fact that they won the game last night after almost gacking it away. But then to the point that you were making earlier in the week and yesterday in particular of, I'm just excited to see where they stand up. Or stack up, I should say, against San Antonio in the first round.
I'm super excited.
And
for
one
that.
Of the main reasons is I still don't know what category to put Denny in, because Denny has games like this that make you say, what?
That's a superstar.
He's the best player on the floor. Yes. We're comparing him to LeBron James this morning, right? Like that's happening.
Well, those numbers
He had 41 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds.
But the numbers are doing it, not
I know.
Everybody else.
He was 15 to 22 from the floor. To Swag's point, he missed 2 2-point field goals the entire game.
Yeah.
Like, he dominated last night.
Mm-hmm.
Can you keep doing it? If he doesn't, it doesn't mean that you come away with the takeaway of like, well, he's not that good. I'm having a hard time right now figuring out what category to put him in terms of how elite of a player is he, and then also trying to have the understanding in the moment, because last night was super fun and exciting and we haven't had a game like that in a long time,
half a decade.
I also want to acknowledge that what have we said about Phoenix in the last couple of weeks of the season?
Mm-hmm.
They were flailing a bit.
They were not playing very good basketball. They're not good defensively. They don't have a rim protecting big. Who's their best perimeter defender? Brooks probably. Outside of him, it's like that's not a strength of theirs. And so that's where now I get back to the conversation we were having yesterday. Denny just torched them. That was awesome.
Yes.
Going to the playoff. The first round pick debate's done. Thank you, Neil Olshey. That's finally over.
Hey, we're finally out of the Neil Olshey era. Like, officially.
Middle, and the cameras aren't on, so I can actually flip somebody off. One last middle finger to Neil Olshey. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And now we get to go see, they have an alien in the middle.
Yes.
An alien in the middle, by the way, who is young and early in his career and is not going anywhere.
And he's super hungry to, like, prove everybody wrong that they can't do it this
year.
He
will be in the Western Conference for our entire lifetimes, probably, because that's the luck we get.
As long as he stays relatively healthy, he might be the first guy to make $1 billion in salary in his career.
If you're in this category, if you're in this camp of player, can you hang with him? Can you carry Portland through? I'm not asking you to win the series.
Is different because of the way that they play, but I hear what you're saying.
Like, can you go be the best player on the floor on a game of the series? Can you be the best player on your team every game?
Can you average 30 in a playoff series? Can you average 28 in a series?
Can you elevate your game against an elite team in the NBA?
Because
Phoenix is not an elite team. As fun as last night was, they're not an elite team.
Here's Denny Avdia in the postgame on the final sequence.
I mean, I basically wanted to go downhill and like kind of like break into the paint and create, whether it's for me going to the basket or somebody else to shoot it. I felt like I was just being aggressive the whole night going downhill. And, you know, I cleared Shaden so I can go right. And, that's what happened.
He also talked about the growth of the team that he thinks they showed when he poured in 41 and they won.
I feel like, we kept our composure. And I think back in the beginning of the season, we weren't very disciplined and staying together and, like, finishing games. And I feel like we showed character today. We showed growth. We showed character. We showed we're capable of keeping our composure and making winning plays. We didn't give up the whole game. That's what matters.
When Royce O'Neal had the steal and then the three.
God,
and
that
then
pass from Kamara. What are you doing?
Terrible cross-court pass. But when that happened, that sequence, that breaks a lot of teams.
We just saw it happen in Portland a week and a half ago against Denver. They had an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter, and it blew it. They blew it.
But, yeah, and Denver, not Phoenix. No. But when that happens, like, he is so right of you see resolve, you see growth. Like, I remember looking at Tamani because the place is going crazy. And Tamani just, like, walks pretty nonchalantly over to the bench. And he didn't have a great offensive game, but he made a big impact defensively. And there was just an air about them of, like, they don't ever feel rattled, shook. Now, I know they did against Denver because they blew the lead, but that's also Jokic, right? Like, Jokic
is the best player in the league.
Yeah, it's him, it's Wemby, it's SGA, it's those guys. But when you look at a large stretch of the other teams in the league, and this is the benefit of them being built the way that they are, to give credit to Cronin and company. When they have like a run happen to them, 24-4, or a big moment that goes against them, you know who's walking back to the huddle? Jrue Holiday. Jrue Holiday's literally lived every imaginable life as an NBA player. He's been on garbage-ass Sixers teams. Mm-hmm. He's been on title and ascending Pelican and Bucks and title-winning Celtics. Like, the dude has seen all of it. So, like, Royce O'Neal having a big steal and then pushing a lead with a three and the place going crazy.
There's a lot of time left, man.
Jrue Holiday doesn't care.
Yeah.
Jeremy Grant doesn't care, even though he hasn't been in big games in a while.
Right.
These guys, they have just the right amount of guys to their credit of, yeah. And then Tamani, I don't think, cares. And then I think Deddy really cares. Like, even their youngerish players on the team, I don't think. Scoot, Shaden, I think getting back guys like that. Donovan, certainly. But the Denny, the 25. Tamani, what, 24, 25?
Right.
The Drew, the Jeremy, the Matisse, like, those guys are walking off like, yeah, we've seen runs, don't really care. Like, there's an added advantage with that, and then you just carry whoever else is stepping up for you. So, just a remarkable performance by Denny Avdia last night. We'll carry this over. What did you think of Denny Avdia last night? To Dirt's point, it's always been like, is he a one? Is he a two? Is he a three?
Yeah, I've been having that debate for 2 years now, or a year and a half, I should say, after the second half of last year through this season.
I think I'm forced to walk something back in some ways, but also where you're at. 41 points in the play-in. They're the seventh seed. They get the Spurs. We'll talk a little bit about that matchup, an early peekaboo on that. Your thoughts are welcome at 503-864-6326. We're back with more. So I'm kind of stuck in a conundrum, and I need help.
Help! Help!
I noted second biggest Blazer homer of the fan.
Yes, you are. Number two on the big board.
Do you guys agree with that? If we doled it out, the awards
I don't know enough about Steven yet to properly rank
There's
him.
There's nobody else that comes to mind where I'm like, oh, we're overlooking so-and-so.
I also don't know enough about Steven. I think Steven thinks we've met, and maybe we have, and I apologize.
Yeah.
But I'd met him for the first time during the interview process.
Well, and we don't cross paths ever with them outside of an event for the station, and so we don't get to see the face-to-face, and so I...
You didn't chat with them during the
He was doing his own show during the client party, wasn't he?
I was hosting our great friends at Sparta for party. I was talking with Ben and Jen.
Okay. I didn't know if maybe you wandered in here to duck out of things for 10 minutes.
No,
and see what
the only person I talked to outside of them was you.
Yeah.
God, you want to talk about a sex pistol.
What was Swigard wearing? Do you have leather pants on?
No. Better.
Oh.
Better. He had deck shoes.
Okay. Sounds about right.
Khaki shorts.
Yes. Hawaiian. Nice day, right? Wasn't it a nice day?
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous day. Yeah.
Hawaiian shirt.
Okay.
Coiffed hair, glasses.
Yeah. That's perfect.
And he had a moment, I told him this, he had a moment where I looked across the office because it was pretty
packed. You can take a man out of Lake Oswego, but you can't take the Lake Oswego out of a man.
Hell no.
And his arm was against the wall, one of our coworkers, female, right next to him.
Okay.
And he's holding in his other hand, with the glass between fingers.
Cocktail?
Wine glass.
Oh, wine glass. Okay.
And from a distance, if you don't know the dynamic or relationship situation.
Who is that hot older man?
You think he is going in there dropping his sex panther on
Jimmy
a female coworker.
From LinkedIn.
Hey.
And I told him this, and I think he had about 15 glasses of wine. He was having a good time.
I mean, why would you not? It's an open bar, dude. I'm taking advantage of this.
But to answer your thing, I think Steven's like a big Blazer. I think he tweets and
does
podcast
stuff. Yeah, I follow
him
on social media, and I met him once or twice. So But I just don't know enough. I don't have enough of a concrete sample size to proclaim two or three on the
board.
Well,
but he's on prime time now, so I think he's trying to bury a little bit of the homerism.
A little bit professional.
Because, you know, Isaac's going to give you a hard time on that.
Yes, he will. He will mock your fandom.
So I don't know enough either about him to say it confidently, but I've been picked as the second biggest.
I think you're numero dos.
Okay. That's fine.
Numero dos.
Second biggest Homer honk Blazer guy here. Yeah. I went from asking my brother-in-law if he wanted to go to the game Sunday, because 12:30 is perfect for me.
Oh, Sunday's
good. To then going, no, actually, I want to take my wife.
Yeah.
Text the wife.
Hey,
you want to go to the game? Normally, I'm expecting a quick, no.
No.
Oh, interested. I said, it's going to be a little pricey, because I found some good 200-level tickets, but the price is it's low up there.
Yeah.
And then that morphed into, the kids seem super interested. Now we got four tickets.
No. Oh, no. Two tickets to four tickets is
now you got to deal with a comma.
Dude. There goes your tax return.
Yeah, if you got any. Four tickets behind the hoop, mid-300 section, 135. Am I better served to just go all in? And I hate that view, by the way.
It's terrible.
Dog crap. I'm going to kind of regret it, but also they get to experience the playoffs they've never been able to, so like it's a memory here.
It's a whole generation of Blazer fans who have never had the chance to go watch a game. Or what, people who want to
follow
the team
would you have to forego that maybe was in the plans for the summertime or something?
Gas?
You're riding your bike to work again? Remember the eclipse day when you rode your bike to work? You were worried about traffic? I mean, you've done it before. I think that was to the old building, but you've technically pulled it off.
Like when you went to the beach during
going
spring
over the
break, you got the Vrbo, you were going out, you were watching whales.
Get out of the way. Make sure you got your yellow neon vest on. Why spring biking to work? He wanted to go to game four.
One of easily the worst decisions I've ever made. It's probably better than even the weedy shirt at an engagement party.
Yeah, the biking the day of the eclipse is an all-timer.
No, let's power rank my worst three moments at the fan.
Okay.
Number one, choosing to bike in from deep Beaverton, borderline Hillsboro.
Deep, you were Lance Armstrong that day.
Now, biking into our work because the eclipse traffic was supposed to be awful.
Oh, that's right.
Nobody drove.
Nobody
drove.
Was on the road. Nobody went to
drove.
Work.
Yeah.
Everybody
it was the opposite.
It was the opposite. Everybody got to where they were going the night before.
They were warning people, the traffic's going to be awful. The eclipse. And I'm like, I got to bike into work.
Go.
Borrowed a bike. Biked into work.
I think you had E.T. in the front basket,
It was terrible. That's number one.
Did you give him a ride home that day? Did somebody give you a ride home? Or did you bike home?
I'm pretty sure I biked home.
I think
you went all the way home.
Yeah.
And that's the worst part of it, because it's mostly downhill coming in.
It's all uphill.
It's all uphill going
home. I walked certain sections of that. I'm like, who am I, the Tour de France? So biking to work on the day of the eclipse, because they told me traffic was going to happen. That's easily number one.
Yeah.
Number two, sneaky has got to be bringing spaghetti in a Tupperware container to a Buffalo Wild Wings and asking them to reheat it.
Because you were too cheap to buy their food.
I didn't want to spend money on food.
I mean, yeah, it was a little pasta left over, and it's right here in a dish. You got a microwave in there?
The facial reaction of the waitress, let me ask my manager.
Don't tell me you don't have a microwave in there. I know you have a microwave in there. 30 seconds, that's all I'm asking for, baby.
And then number three, showing up to a Mike Lynch engagement party in a Wheaties t-shirt because he told me the outfit requirement was super cash. And I took that as, okay, Wheaties t-shirt, totally approved.
That's a hell of a power three.
And then
right
walked
there.
In, sir, you must wear a jacket. You
what?
Got any?
What?
Yeah, let's go to the basement, sir.
I'm wearing cargo shorts over here, dude. I wasn't prepared for this either.
He was Rick Vaughn at the thing.
With his sleeves ripped
off. I look like a banker in this thing.
With a bow tie on.
Those are my three worst moments at the fan as an employee.
So you can bike to work all summer or you can go to game four. Good luck with your decision making.
Okay, now here's my follow-up. So the tickets are pretty outrageous now, and we're not shocked to find that out, right?
No.
Now, I'm on the secondary market. No offense to our beloved Blazer.
I'm sure everything face value is already sold out. Yeah. Right. Gone. Forget it.
Am I better served to just eat it by now at a seat and a viewpoint that I hate, but I could also go back home and rewatch moments on my DVR?
Yeah, you go. Because it's a 12:30 game especially. You're home in normal time.
Or do I wait this out in the chances they lose the first two, check the market then, Or am I, is it too dicey if they win game one?
I mean, I think that the thought process that has to go through your head is, what is the more likely scenario?
I think
the series
personally,
is 2-1 or 3-0?
I personally think they're splitting in San Antonio. And we'll get to that part because I know people are going to call me a homer for saying it.
That's why you're number two on the big board.
Damn
right
it is. But the odds are telling you it ain't happening. So I think a gentleman sweep is here.
Okay.
And I
but
think
you think they get one of the first two games for a gentleman sweep?
Out the gate, baby.
And then lose
Spurs,
three in a row?
Not ready for this.
Okay.
The Denny Avdija.
If you firmly believe that's going to happen, then you need to buy your tickets now. Because if
Damn
you
it.
Have a game four with a chance to tie the series at two, they will only go up. The only scenario in which those ticket prices go down for Sunday is if it's 3-0. People are, when you're not winning the series.
And you're losing by 14 a
And
game.
It's a gentleman's sweep because the Spurs don't really care.
They're going home anyway.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But, maybe they even rest Wemby at that point.
Could
they
you
could
imagine? We'll shut you out in
we
game
won
five.
A game! But did we win a game? I don't know if we won a game. That's the only scenario. So
what series? We did that against the Spurs. I went to that playoff game. It was, we were down 3-0. And I want to say we won it? We had a gentleman sweep against the Spurs years ago.
That was, I believe, the Rocket year where Dame hit the shot against Houston in the first round.
It was the second round.
They went and played San Antonio, and they dominated us.
That was the last playoff game I went to as a fan.
Yeah.
I've only been to the playoff game since as a media member. And let me tell you, somebody watching the Dame Thunder shot, did me and Joe Fish scream like everybody? Yes, but you don't get to quite enjoy it the same.
No, because in your afterwards, it's one thing to walk down to the media situation after the game. It's another to be high-fiving everybody
on
in
the concourse
and streaming out of the building and everybody's chanting, "Let's go Blazers." It's a different vibe.
No, there's no doubt about it. What do you think I should do? Wait or buy now? 503-864-6326. Let's do an early peekaboo. How do you guys feel like the series is going to go? We got a 7-2 matchup. That we can talk about. We'll get to that and all your thoughts. We got other stuff to get into today. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 The Fan. A lot to get to in the third hour. We had a journalist resign yesterday.
Yeah, that was...
It's becoming a kind of uncomfortable, weird story now.
Yeah.
Still in denial. Fully denying any sort of rumor or... It just was, this is becoming too much, and I'm done.
Yeah, dude. Everybody's talked about it. It's everywhere. You know everybody around them is
bringing them up. There's an internal review, but there's not. But they're supporting her, but they're not.
But they're,
You're not going to hear anything from her for a while.
No.
I dare I ask when? I'm not going to say anything's impossible. Like, if you told
me Sharon
Moore is coaching in 2 years, I'm not going to be shocked. If Jim Harbaugh brought him on staff and say, Jesus forgives, everybody deserves another chance, like, that's not going to shock me.
I think we all have the memory of a goldfish, and by the time we get 2 months from not hearing her, we'll probably forget about the story, and there'll be 8,000 other controversies
to
talk about.
The internet will never let her forget that story.
I just do. We move on so quickly.
The
give it a
awful.
Week, and we'll move on to a different one that we're all yelling about and debating.
I get you on that one. Poll question going up. If you want to go to the Sunday Blazers playoff game, how do you go about buying the tickets? Wait and see or buy now? You could vote at Dirt and Sprague. We'll wait and see, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a proper approach.
But
could backfire, but I think it's a proper approach.
For Sunday, I would give a little wait and see what happens game one.
Let's do an early peekaboo on it. It's the Spurs. It's the 7-2. I told you that I thought they would win against Phoenix, and I want the Spurs because I just want to see
that's going to be the standard moving forward.
Yeah, they're also more exciting, I think, coming into your building than the Thunder, despite the Thunder having the title.
Without a doubt. They've
Plus,
also
they have
never
the
been
alien
there.
That requires a different game plan than other teams.
You saw this yesterday a little bit in the play-in. You see players that haven't been in big stakes games like that in the NBA. Like, Con Knipple was god-awful.
Yes, he was.
To bench him.
Yes, he was.
I thought LaMelo was terrible. He just happened to have the go-ahead shot. What is your thought early looking ahead on the series? The Spurs are the overwhelming favorite, and rightfully so.
Yes, they are.
Is this much of anything? Is this that Spurs series from a couple of years where it's a gentleman's sweep and it's like, hey, we won a game, but they didn't really feel like you won a game? And
right.
How do you think the series is going to go?
I'm excited to see how we stack up. I don't think every game is going to necessarily be a bloodbath for the reasons that you're pointing out, especially early in the series. But if we're going to point to Denny Avdija's international success, I think we also have to do the same thing with Victor Wembanyama. Played in a gold medal game in the Olympics. Like, he's been in big moments before.
Yeah.
And he's been playing on the main stage for a long time in his career. And he also doesn't seem like somebody who has ever been impacted by a moment being too big. And so as long as that's in his back pocket, I have a hard time. I'll put it this way. I would be shocked, maybe is too extreme. Mm-hmm. I would be incredibly surprised if we won more than one game.
Yeah.
If we push it to six, mm-hmm. you will see an incredibly surprised look on my face.
We might have a parade if we push it to six.
I mean, if they go on to win a title, which I don't know if they will or not, San Antonio, that is, it'll be like the Dallas series all over again, and we'll talk about how we played them harder than anybody, depending on how the rest of the playoffs go.
I had that banner for that.
I'm like, we were their toughest matchup! Like, that's the
way
we
used to. You know, Sean Marion said.
He once said we were really hard to beat. Yeah. Wemby is such a unique player that there's not anything that we can do about him. And I also think what he possesses defensively and his ability to affect shots around the rim and block them and divert shots away from the paint, like that is the stronghold of our offense, is Denny Avdia going downhill and getting to the hoop. And so I think we'll for sure have a game like we saw this against Denver the other night. I don't think you're going to set a franchise record for threes made, but what has Kamara been from three in the last couple of months? He's incredibly streaky. He'll go 7 of 8, 7 of 8, 1 of 9, 1 of 9, 7 of 8, and it ends up evening out to a decent percentage. Mm-hmm. But he's going to have a game in this series where he gets hot and can't miss a shot. And that will go hold true for a lot of guys on the team. I just, outside of those kind of games that you're not shooting north of 40% from three, I have a hard time seeing you outscoring them. And we've had some moments defensively that we have not been great in the back half of the year. I know the numbers have come up a little bit.
We've been top three, I think, since four weeks.
Yeah. And what happened when we played Denver? We gave up 140 points. How many offenses have we played with a pulse?
Yeah.
This is
no, I was just pointing out. I totally agree with you.
The idea of shutting down the Sacramento Kings is different than stopping Victor Wembanyama. We played this Spurs team without Wembanyama, and they scored 120 plus on us and controlled
us.
The entire game. That just happened. And so that's how I feel. If they get to game six, I'm sitting here like head sewn to the carpet. How the hell did that happen?
Over 5.5 on DraftKings. If you think the series goes six, if you're one of those fans that buys into the Blazers winning two or more, over 5.5 is plus 210. If you think it's a gentleman sweep or a sweep outright, it's minus 200.
Yeah.
And then the series overall, let me see. I think it's I think it's for the Spurs. It's pretty crazy.
If you want to put a bet on the Blazers,
it's minus 2,000 for the Spurs. It's plus 1,000 for our Blazers to win. I'm not going there at all. Like I do think experience. Like, you have moments where the young players, if you told me Dylan Harper is 1 for 10 in game one or two or something,
Sure, absolutely.
But they're a little bit like us, just way better with a better player. They have sprinkled in guys with experience.
Yeah.
Vassell,
Fox has a little bit of postseason
experience.
Fox has
tiny bits. And then you've got Harrison Barnes, and you don't have to say he matters all that much. But guys that have been there help settle or help, you know, help you understand the moment. And so I think there's going to be an element of the youth and experience with them, but I think it's going to be Spurs in five.
Yes,
is how I feel about the series.
Without a doubt. I don't know what game you get. Game three would probably be my bet that you come home cooking. A couple of tough losses in San Antonio.
Crowd's fired up. It's Friday night.
You can't miss Friday night game. You shoot 47% from three.
So I'm going to pay $700 to watch them lose the series, and my kids be like, damn it, that's what this is like?
And then you get game four, and it settles back down. Wemby's the ultimate it's one thing for other young guys to struggle. Colin Knipl was terrible last night.
I know.
You know what helps?
Yeah.
Having a Victor Wembanyama on the floor.
I understand that he is also young,
but again, he's played in a lot of big games in his career.
We could talk a little bit more about this matchup and other elements, the Blazers winning the play-in. The Blazers jail doc came out yesterday. We both watched that. We can get on that. We got Russini follow-up news. We got Status Story loaded third and fourth hour. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, The Fan.